All right. Hey. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue here on the overnights. We're here every weekday morning, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., kicking off your day. And leading up to the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6. Our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can check us out, Twitter, at Nick D Show. Facebook, best way to stay connected. It's alive, it's interactive. Whatever is happening on the show is happening at that moment on Facebook, and you can communicate there as well. We're trying to hit 12,000 fans. We're getting close, so help us out by liking us, facebook.com/Nick D Show. All right, one of our favorite guests, friend of the show, is Herb Weisbaum. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. You can read all his stories. You can subscribe to his newsletter at ConsumerMan.com. And you can follow him on Facebook at ConsumerMan and Twitter at TheConsumerMan. And he is the Consumer Man to help you with all of your needs, covering the consumer beat, Herb Weisbaum. And we welcome him back to the show once again. Hi, Herb.
It's been a while. How you doing?
All right. How were your holidays?
Wonderful. I can't thank you enough for the Hanukkah gift. That was so wonderful.
Yeah.
How did you know that I wanted a Lamborghini in blue?
Yeah, it was a matchbox car. I hope you were okay with that.
That's from Nick and Dan.
That's
and
right.
It was from you guys.
Yeah, it was from both of us. That's right. That's one of my favorite moments in the movie The Ref. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Ref. But in the movie, they're exchanging Christmas presents, and the grandmother like opens up some slipper socks or something,
right?
And it's from like six different people.
That's just funny.
Threw everybody's name on there.
Right.
Well, Herb, welcome, and we're thrilled to have you on as we always are. NBCNews.com, and let's for people who might not know, and it has been a little bit of a while since we've had you on. Give everybody a little background on how you started and how you got into the consumer beat.
Well, I started very, very young when I just knew that I wanted to be a specialty reporter, do something to help people. I've been doing it for a long time. I work out here in Seattle at KOMO Radio in Seattle, do the NBC gig as well, cover the consumer beat for them for 9 years. And I just think that people need, if you're smart and you know what's going on, you can try to get around the bad guys and all the crooks and the people who are trying to steal your money or rip you off and that kind of thing. So I spend my life just trying to make people smarter.
And, you know, I got to tell you, Herb, it's got to be a fast-moving, interesting job that you have to really keep up with things, considering how easily it is to get ripped off, and as technology changes, quicker and quicker and quicker.
Oh, it's changing all the time. Absolutely. Absolutely changing all the time. And I want to point out that, by the way, and I love it, every time I'm on with you, I get a couple of emails from listeners in Chicago, and they say, hey, how about this? I got this story. Check this out. And it really does help me know what's going on, and I really, really appreciate that. You can go on my website, consumerman.com, but every time we do this, I hear from some folks. So it's really cool.
Well, good. And we thank you for listening and helping people out. It's very cool. People love this segment, Herb. They really do.
Good.
And so do we here at the show. And so check it all out at consumerman.com. All right, Herb, let's get started, of course, with identity theft, which is a very common thing, and it's a topic that pops up every single time you come on the show, and it's always important to talk about. What's the latest that these thieves are changing tactics
again? We got some new numbers this time. Every year around this time, Javelin, a big strategy and research company, comes out with their annual identity fraud study, and it just came out, and it shows that things are up a little bit. About 13 million Americans became identity fraud victims in 2015, up 3% from 2014, and it was the second highest number in the past 6 years. The good news, if there is any here, is the amount stolen last year decreased by 6% to $15 billion, the smallest in 6 years. $15 billion is still a heck of a lot of money, my friend.
That is.
But what is happening and what appears to be happening is that the financial institutions, the credit card companies, are getting a little better, the retailers, at spotting this fraud and shutting it down before it gets out of hand, which is really good. And I want to tell you a personal story. I have one of those new EMV cards, the chip-enabled cards. Have
yes,
you gotten yours yet?
Yes, I do. One of my credit cards, yes.
Yes. And as we've talked on the show before, that is only designed to prevent one kind of fraud, which is the counterfeit fraud, where they can make a card and use it at the store, which it was real easy using the mag stripe and just copying the mag stripe on the back. You can't do that with a chip-enabled card. You can't counterfeit it. When they use the reader, it won't read right. But it doesn't prevent the other kinds of fraud, such as using them to make online purchases and that sort of thing. So I had my credit card number stolen. I have no idea where it was. I assume it was when I was in Europe over the fall. And all of a sudden, sudden, there are charges on my account that were purchased overseas. Now, there were only three charges. There was a $1.79, which is like a test charge to make sure the card is still working. And then there were two purchases in Brazil, online purchases in Brazil, for like $25. And in those three little charges, the fraud algorithm at the credit card company caught that something was going on wrong and shut the card down. And then I had to contact them and go from there. When I had my card stolen the last time, which was a while, and it's 12 years ago or something like that, there were $6,000 worth of purchases made before the algorithm caught that there was a problem. Gives you some idea of how they're getting much, much better at knowing what is going on. And someday, if the card is linked to our, if we use mobile wallets and there's a GPS located to where we are, so we couldn't be making a transaction in Brazil in person if our phone is in Cleveland or Chicago or whatever,
right.
That might help solve it even more. But that's what this report noted. That's what's changing. And everybody expected this to happen because it happened in other countries that changed these chip cards 10, 15 years ago. The bad guys are now using the cards to make online purchases because you don't have to show a card. You don't have to use that chip to make an online purchase.
Right.
You only have to have the card number. And they're also, instead of trying to steal credit card numbers, working credit card numbers, there's so much information floating around that they can buy about us, like Social Security numbers. It's amazing how many are floating out there. They're just opening brand new accounts. They're opening a brand new clean account in your name or my name and just starting to run up the bill until they get caught. So that's where this report shows that the fraud is changing in those two different areas. And the good guys have sort of got a mold in that area and try to do things to shut it down.
Wow. Now, you know, there are basic rules for people to follow, you know, to stay safe. And those do change every once in a while because they have to change with what the thieves are doing and what the technology entails. So what are some of the things, the basic things that people can do to ensure
like
that this doesn't happen?
You know, it's like whack-a-mole. It's like you do something, and then they change their tactics, and you got to change your tactics again, and that sort of thing. And before I give you the tips, I just want to share one other thing with you because it's really interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of these card numbers are being used to be used globally. The crime is now being committed globally when they steal these credit card numbers. About 18% is now happening overseas. And when they do it over there, it tends to be a bigger fraud, and it goes on for longer because it's a little harder for them to catch the fraud when it's going on over there. But here's what these guys are doing to give you an idea how good they are. Because, you know, in my case, the algorithm said Herb is in Seattle. Why is he making online purchases in Brazil, right?
Right.
What they're doing is they're calling up the credit card company and saying, hi, it's Nick DiGilio, and I'm going on vacation to Italy for 2 weeks, so please don't shut my card down when I'm in Italy because I'm going to be making transactions in Italy.
Oh.
And then they use your stolen credit card number to make transactions in Italy, and it takes the credit card people longer to figure out they're using your card and stolen the number.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing because, I mean, from personal experience, when I went to Ireland some years ago, like a couple of days before I went, I called my credit card company, I called my bank,
yep.
And I said, I'm going to Ireland. So if you see some charges that are in Ireland, it's me.
We all do.
And,
yep.
Yeah.
But
and
that's
so that's
devious these guys
man,
are.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So let me just give you those couple little tips. There are a number of things, and if you go to the story, which is on my website, I run down a whole bunch of tips. One is to make sure if you're using your mobile device, make sure you have it security up. Do all the updates, security updates when there's a new, you know, iOS comes out or a new Android, update it because they're usually patching security. Try to use good passwords. I mean, I know it's a pain, but people are using really insecure passwords that lets them steal this information. If you can't remember them, use a password manager that secures all your passwords, and all you have to do is remember one password. Probably the most important tip I can give you is sign up for account alerts. If you don't have alerts on your credit card accounts, on your bank accounts, your financial accounts, go to the website of that financial institution or credit card company and see what kind of alerts you can put on. You can usually put on what I have on my credit cards is a size limit transaction, and you can do it on your checking account too. So anything like over, pick a number, anything over $250, you get an automatic text alert or email alert to let you know there was a transaction. It's a great way in real time to know what's going on. I also have an alert if there's a global transaction. I'm not making global transactions, so that would be an immediate sign of fraud. I have one that lets me know if there's cash taken out of the cash machine because I'm not taking any money out of the cash machine. If I am, I'll know about it, so that's another good sign. And then you can put those kind of alerts on here to and card not present. So if somebody uses my number and the card is not present, so a phone purchase or an internet purchase, that will also let me know.
Wow.
It's a great way to keep track of things. And if someone gets your card and starts using some funky things, it will immediately show up either via text or on your email and let you know. Then you can call the bank right away. Because the rule is, the quicker you catch it, the easier it is to solve and the less hassle it is. Odds are you're probably not going to lose money if it involves your credit card. Most cards give you that 0% liability and you're okay. The bottom line is, we all pay for it. That $15 billion I talked about, we all pay for that in the form of higher interest rates and higher prices for merchandise.
Yeah.
So we're paying for it in the long run.
Yeah.
So if we can stop it and let the bad guys get rich on us, we're all better off.
Yeah. Okay. Great advice. Herb, hang on, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He joins us about every month. Emmy Award-winning reporter, covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. Check out ConsumerMan.com. And we're going to have more stories coming up right after we take this break. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Nick DiGilio, that's me. And here till 5 a.m., opening bell at 5. 6 o'clock, the great Steve Cochran coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Herb Weisbaum is our guest. He is our consumer man, and he covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com and always is a great guest with great advice on how to make sure you don't get ripped off and on all other consumer issues. Herb, I wanted to mention to you, welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. Did you change your music?
We're doing all kinds of
Caribbean feel to it for 2016.
Well, you mentioned Brazil. So,
all right.
Yeah. I wanted to mention, you know, here at the Tribune Company, of which I am an employee, we had to switch up our insurance coverage and package and all of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, we changed things and we had to like pick a new insurance, you know, package, new this, new that, you know. And one of the things that they offered that they had not offered before, which I took advantage of, and I've not seen this before.
Identity theft insurance.
Absolutely, and I took it immediately, and it doesn't cost that much, you know, a check. Now, when did that become sort of a standard thing? Because that's the first time I've come across that.
It's been offered independently for several years now. Some people can get it on their private policies. I guess some employers obviously are now starting to offer it.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not the greatest thing in the world.
Well, thanks, Herb.
Because you're paying for something that you probably won't need. I mean, they talk about we'll give you up to $1 million liability.
Yeah.
Most people don't lose that amount of money. Like I just told you, in most cases, it's paid for by the credit card company or whatever. The problem was in the hassle factor and that sort of thing, and how you have to go through all this paperwork and
right.
jump through all these hoops.
Right.
If you're getting it at a really cheap price and it makes you feel better, that's fine. But I know the experts at Consumer Reports are not very high on it when I talk to them, because you can't insure against everything in life, and this is one of those ones where in most cases it doesn't cost the victim that much money. And what they and the monetary, you know, if somebody steals your Social Security number and becomes you and starts to play you, that's not a monetary loss that they can help you with, and that's the biggest risk you have.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a credit card fraud, the credit card company eats it, and with the other things, it's usually that not that big of a deal. But you know, you should have asked me ahead of time.
Damn it, Herb.
You got my personal email.
Oh, man.
Dan has my cell phone number.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I should have called
you. Well, you carry for a while. You can always drop it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. I just felt it did make me feel a little bit more secure. I was like, oh, and it's really not – it's not a huge chunk of my check every month, you know. So,
by the way, the biggest hassle we were talking about, my credit card number was stolen.
Yeah.
The biggest hassle, and people should make a note of this maybe, just the name of the company, every single thing that I had automatically charged in my credit card every month, whether it was my cable bill, my insurance payment, my car, whatever it was, every single frickin' one of those things had to be changed.
Oh, man.
So that's the big hassle. Your insurance wouldn't pay for that you have. But, you know, and so I had a couple of things where it wrote me and said, your card was just declined or there's no such card. And, you know, thankfully it was okay and I could take care of it. But, you know, if you have a lot of those things automatically built to your card, you've got to remember to change every single one of those things.
No, that's true. That's true. And we've talked about that before, but that is a pain. Oh, man, what a pain.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for nothing, Herb.
Call or write.
I will.
Your service.
I promise you, I will. ConsumerMan.com. But we have, all right, listen. It's tax time.
Uh-huh.
And this, of course, brings up a whole new issue of consumer problems. And you know, there's tax fraud safeguards and all kinds of things. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Sure. Well, it is tax season, and the problem, as you know, has been that the bad guys were stealing people's tax refunds. They were literally taking your Social Security number, filing a tax return in your name, making bogus paperwork, getting a much bigger deduction than you would ever claim. They jack up your income or whatever. And then the way the IRS works is the first form in with that Social Security number locks out the system. So you couldn't get your legitimate return and your refund from your return, and you had to work with the IRS, which used to take about 4 months or more to deal with this. So what has happened since we spoke about this last year is everybody got together at this giant summit in March. So it was the IRS, it was the private tax preparers, and it was all the states. I assume you have an income tax in your state, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so they got all together to try to work on things. Yeah, we have an income tax, baby.
Yes, we do, yes.
And what they've done is they've tried to make things a little bit more secure. They're trying to slow things down just a little bit. The goal in the past was always to get it out as quickly as possible, and now the goal is to make sure they get it out right to the right person. So what has happened is with the tax preparation software, the DIY stuff, that's TurboTax and H&R Block, they're going to have a little more security protocols in place. They're going to ask you to make a more secure password. It's got to be at least 8 digits. You got to have more than just letters. It's going to be letters and numbers and characters, that kind of thing. They're going to ask you maybe some more security questions if they're not sure who you are. The states are going to slow the process down. In your state, I'm just looking here at my story, Illinois has said it will not send out refunds until March.
Right.
Connie Beard, your director of the Department of Revenue, said the new security protocols implemented last year resulted in a savings of nearly $5 million. And they want to make sure that they stop this fraud. So they're just slowing things down a little bit to match things up. In many cases, there'll only be a week or two delay, if at all. But I think that's basically the right direction to go, is slow it down and make sure they're not giving your money to some kind of crook. So you'll see that when you file your state returns. You'll see that maybe when you file your IRS return. If you're doing TurboTax or H&R Block or that sort of thing, there'll be a little bit more security protocols. But then there's options. For instance, TurboTax is offering some option things, such as two-party authentication. You can sign up for this thing where you will need to get a password sent to your mobile device or other secure device when you want to log on in order to log on to prove that it's you. I would say with doing tax stuff with your Social Security number, that's a really smart thing to sign up for. It's optional. I would like to see all the stuff be required mandatory, but right now it's optional. You should definitely sign up for it. They're also offering fingerprint security. So if you're an Apple customer and you use Touch ID, you can actually require a password to access your TurboTax account. And then if you use Google, one of the token things, you get an app you can put on your mobile that spits out a random password every so often, you can use token technology as a way to authenticate yourself to get on to your TurboTax account. So there's a lot more security protocols in place. Some are required. A lot now are voluntary. My sincere suggestion to you is if it's there, use it. Yeah, it'll slow you down a couple of seconds. It could keep the bad guys out because you could wait 4 months or more to get your money if they get there before you do.
Now, you know, you mentioned TurboTax. You mentioned H&R Block and using uh-huh. those things. The commercials, and you know, I've often said that for the last 4 months of the year, people are inundated with ridiculous Christmas commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and for the first 4 months of the year, you're inundated with ridiculous tax return commercials.
Right.
And it's the same cycle every year. But what I'm noticing this year in the commercials, almost every commercial, especially for TurboTax, everybody's doing their taxes on their phone.
Right, the Genius series. They have a genius show up and help you out. I just saw them the other day.
Yeah, and now I'm not. I have an accountant, so I use a C. I use an accountant. So, so what about that? How safe is it for you to do your taxes on your phone? What are the things that you should do to keep that safe?
That's really funny because I just thought about that yesterday when I saw those commercials for the first time. Here's what pops into my head, not being an expert in studying that directly. Number one, your telephone or a mobile device tends to be a less secure device in your home computer in most cases. Most people don't have any security software on their cell phones or smartphones, and a third of the people last surveyed didn't even have a password on their mobile device. So if you're taking a picture and that happens to be stored in there, and I don't know if it automatically goes to TurboTax or you have the option to store it in your in your phone, which you possibly could. That would just, to me, and doing any kind of tax-related stuff on that mobile device would be scary to me because of the fact that there could be malicious apps, bad kind of things on your phone, and you're not really putting security software on there to protect yourself. So that's the little bit that has me nervous. I know a lot of people think mobile is the way to go, and it's really great. We're moving in that direction. I'm not sure 100% yet if I'd go in that direction, but I know exactly that that's exactly what they're pushing right now.
Yo, that's every commercial, Herb. Commercial is...
So if you're going to do it, at least you make sure you have a secure password on the phone, number one, if it gets lost or whatever, and make sure you have the software in there that lets you wipe the hard drive if something happens, if you lose it. I mean, you've got to have that on there if you're going to do it. Try to have... There is security software you can get for mobile devices now to look for viruses and malicious software. Make sure you have that on it. And, you know, just store as little as humanly possible as you can in that phone after you've done whatever you need to do.
Yeah. How much, if any, responsibility is left with people like TurboTax, with companies like TurboTax, if something, God forbid, were to happen?
I would assume it's basically all on you. I would assume you're the one doing it. You're the one. I would assume it's basically on you.
Yeah. See, that's why.
Because when all these forms were stolen, there was some indication that the bad guys were getting into some kind of computer system. Remember, they shut down the state filing for a day last year, and whatever happened. I mean, there was no indication that anybody wasn't. Liability was like, you know, if anything happens, you're the one doing it, I think. I don't think they would take... I'm sure there's must be disclaimers and all that.
There must
small
be.
Print that's in the
sure.
terms of use that you do.
Right.
Yeah.
So people be very safe.
Be careful. Yeah,
be very, very careful. With that. I don't know. I wouldn't... I myself, personally, I wouldn't file my taxes with my phone. I don't know. I just wouldn't feel safe about that. It's my taxes, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I buy movie tickets. That's about as scary as it gets for me.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, the way people have their phones set up, sometimes, like, if you're in a building, my building at work, people use the Wi-Fi instead of the cell when they're doing things on the phone. It automatically kicks into the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Well, we have an unsecured Wi-Fi in the building. I mean, if you're going out over that unsecured Wi-Fi, that's not a really smart thing to do from your mobile device. And a lot of people set it up so long ago, they don't even think about when their phone's switching back and forth or what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. You know, I've had a smartphone now for, I've got it. Well, Herb, you know I had an ancient phone for many, many years.
Yes. Yep.
But now I got one of these fancy schmancy. I got a Samsung Galaxy 6S.
So did I.
Yeah, it's a good phone.
And what a camera.
Yeah, I know. And I never thought I would, you know, be singing the praises of a smartphone, but I am. And I find myself doing a lot more than I thought I would with it. But I notice every time, like in this building, we have a secure Wi-Fi here. In Trib Tower,
right.
And so whatever, if I do anything, it's eating up my cell minutes.
Oh, okay.
It'll say log on to Wi-Fi, you know. But I very rarely use my phone in this building unless I make a call or, you know, I need to do something with it. But I don't do because we have computers here.
Right.
Obviously.
Well, it's funny. You got the S6. My wife got a flip phone.
Is that right?
She said, I can't stand these smartphones. Well, I don't get butt dials anymore. It's wonderful for me. She thinks she's that guy on NCIS. You know, she likes to do that now. So.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, Herb, hang on. All right.
Okay.
Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he's your Consumer Man. Check out consumerman.com. You can follow him on Twitter at TheConsumerMan. And you can get his newsletter. We'll tell you all about that coming up. But we got a break here. When we come back, more with Herb Weisbaum right here on 720 WGN. All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Talking with Herb Weisbaum. He is the Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, has a great website called ConsumerMan.com. And Herb, before we get back to a couple of more stories here and consumer things, tell everybody about your newsletter and how they can subscribe. It's at ConsumerMan.com.
Oh, it's real simple. Just go to ConsumerMan.com. They ask you for your name and your email address. You get on the list. I don't sell it. I don't share it. I don't rent it. And all I do is send you out a little email once a week, and it says, here's my podcast from my radio show out in Seattle, where we talk to all kinds of consumer experts from government industry, consumer reports, whatever. And then here's the story I did for NBC. And it makes it really easy to keep up to date on these things that we talk about on your show.
And you also mentioned that a lot of people are getting in contact with you when they hear this. Yes. And have questions for you. So you are available if people, you know, like myself, I should have contacted you before.
I can't solve individual problems.
No, I know.
I don't have the time.
Gotcha.
But I will try to see if somebody writes and says, hey, I heard you on Nick DiGiulio's show. I mean, come on, I'll try to answer you or steer you in the right direction.
There
absolutely.
You go. I appreciate it.
And if you see something going on weird, like I said, it's amazing how we get some of our best stories. The listeners are our eyes and ears, and when a lot of people all of a sudden say, hey, we're getting this, I mean, that's how we first heard about the scam calls about we're going to fix your computer. We're from Microsoft. That's how we first heard that the tax crooks were going around pretending to be the IRS. Listeners called or wrote and said, hey, this is going on, and when you hear from it all around the country, you know, there's a story here. I need to warn people about it.
There you go. All right, always on the beat, consumerman.com. All right, Herb, let's talk about the smart TVs now.
Okay.
You know, a ton of people bought smart TVs for Christmas. A ton of people were watching the Super Bowl.
Yep.
on smart TVs. My parents, in fact, just got a smart TV. And so the question is, how are hackers going to get into this? This has got to be, you know, you wrote a story about that. It's inevitable.
Yep.
It's inevitable that the hackers are going to get in there, and that could open up a whole new way of hackers getting into your stuff.
Sure. I mean, it's a TV that is hooked up to the internet. So anything that's hooked up to the internet, this is one of the internet of things. You know, our whole home is going to be talking to each other. If it's on the internet, if it's gone through your Wi-Fi, it means that somehow a hacker could possibly get in there. And right now, there are no real security programs, not a lot anywhere, and nobody's really using them for these devices. And so it's basically an open window to the internet where the hacker could get in via your TV. They're always looking for a soft entry point and then use that to get into your Wi-Fi system and then get into your computer or one of your other devices in your home where you have important information like your taxes or your passwords or account numbers or that sort of thing. So that is the fear from security people that the bad guys eventually will be hacking into the TVs to get into that home computer network. As one person said to me, Pam Dixon, she's the executive director of the World Privacy Forum. It's a great quote. She said, the smart TV, she said, it's not a back door or a side door. It's a front door to your home network. It's a toboggan run directly to your computer.
Oh, man.
She's absolutely right.
Wow. Wow. So what can people do?
Well, first of all, if you're not going to use it as a smart TV, and some people just got it because most of the TVs now that are being sold are smart TVs.
Exactly, yeah.
Don't hook it up to your Wi-Fi if you're not going to use it that way. I mean, there's no sense in pushing the button and linking the two if for some reason you're not planning to use it. If you are planning to use it, you can try to get some software for it like you would put on your smart device. So there are apps that you could get if it has certain systems. So if it has an Android system, you could go to the Google Store and you could get some security protocols that you would security software that you would put on your mobile device or your laptop. You could put that on your TV set and try to protect yourself in that way. And then the other thing is, if you have your own Wi-Fi device and you are smart enough and know what you're doing, you're a tech kind of person, you can set up a separate account inside the Wi-Fi. So you could put a guest account in that modem, and you could have that just for your TV. So if for some reason they got into your TV, it can't get them into the Wi-Fi that gets into everything else.
Wow.
It's way over my pay grade, but all the tech experts I said know that if people have their own, they can set that up for themselves. And the electronic companies, Nick, know this is a problem. I contacted the consumer industry. They said, we know this is a problem. We are taking steps to try to up security, and that we're working on this. And the thing that brought this to the fore, and the way I got started with this, is there's a guy named Candid West, and he's a threat researcher with Symantec, the big security company. And he was able to successfully hack his own Android device and Android-based TV. And he said it was really pretty easy to do. The problem is that it's pretty hard to get the stuff out of there because it's if you have to get it fixed, you got to schlep that TV to the repair shop to get them to take the stuff out of your TV or whatever. And he fears, and I never, you know, you're probably saying, why would somebody, you know, why would you want to hack my TV? If you could get into my Wi-Fi and steal stuff, that's a reason. But why would you, you know, just get into the TV? So he suggested a couple of reasons. One, I mean, there's always the blackmail potential that if you're doing stuff on the TV and you're, you know, whatever it is that you don't want the world to know, somebody could blackmail you. But he said that what they could do is put ransomware on your your TV. And we've talked about that before. So they get into your TV, they put malicious software on your smart TV, and they lock the TV. And all of a sudden, you got a blank screen, and it's the third quarter of the Super Bowl, and the TV goes blank, and the message pops up, and it says, you want to see the end of the game? give me your credit card number and pay $100 right now or whatever. That is not beyond the realm of reasonableness because all these guys want to do is make quick money.
Yeah.
So that's a story he shared with me about how he thinks the bad guys may get into your TV and what they might do with it.
Interesting. What's his name?
His name is Candid West, W-U-E-E-S-T, and we actually talked via Skype in Switzerland because that's where he's based, and Skype is getting so good it sounded like he was in the next room. It was unbelievable.
I got to tell you, last week, Herb, I hosted a screening of the movie Groundhog Day.
Okay, and, how many times?
and it was on Groundhog Day, in fact, last week, and we had Stephen Tobolowsky on with us. Afterwards, did a live Q&A with the audience in the movie theater via Skype, and it was projected on the big screen,
right.
And it looked great. It sounded great. It was like he was in the theater with us.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. It's really come a long way in the last year or so.
Yeah.
By the way, one last tip that I was just thinking of I want to share with you is, you know, because these are smart TVs, you can put apps on them. You know, be proactive. Be really, really careful about the apps that you download and put on your smart TV. Try to stick to the trusted stores. It's no guarantee that you won't get something malicious, but that's your best bet at this point. Avoid any apps for your TV from unknown sources or non-official locations. They can have names that sound like the real ones. You know, they're free. When maybe the real one costs a buck or $1.99, there's a reason why they're free. You just got to be really real. And then I wouldn't do sensitive stuff from my TV. I mean, eventually, as these get more common, they're in about half the households now, there will be people who will sit in their bed at night and use their smart TV to do their taxes or to do their online banking. That is not the place to do this until the security software rolls out to protect these things like your computer, your real computer is protected. This is not like your real computer right now. This is a TV with a computer added on, not a computer built with security first that does computing kind of thing. So
right.
Just really, really, you know, keep that in mind that there's a difference to these kind of things.
You know, Herb, you mentioned, because we're going to let you go, but you mentioned apps and things like that. Maybe the next time we talk, we can talk a little bit more in detail on how the bad guys are creating, you know, fake apps.
Oh, absolutely.
Can we get into that next time?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, because that's something that, you know, I know everybody's got apps on their phone, and it's you know, if you get a logo that looks like, you know, Comedy Central or something, and get in there, and those guys can rip you off, and that's something we need to talk about, I think.
Absolutely. Be happy to do that.
Okay. All right, Herb, always a pleasure, man. You're the best.
Thank you.
Emmy Award-winning reporter and friend of the show, Herb.
Absolutely.
Yep. He covers the Consumer Beat for NBCNews.com. Check out consumerman.com for all your needs. Always a pleasure, Herb, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
You got it. Next month. Take care, Nick.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Herb Weisbaum, everybody, here to help you out. He is the Consumer Man. Check out consumerman.com. Follow him on Twitter at The Consumer Man and also on Facebook, Consumer Man, and NBCNews.com as well. All right. We'll take a quick break, and we got more coming up right here on 720 WGN.